Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Black Hawk, South Dakota, is happy to share God's Word preached for you by Pastor Randy Sturzenbecker. We pray that you will rejoice in Christ crucified and resurrected for you. The waters of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the forgiveness of sins, all for you, from Jesus.
In the name of Jesus, amen. Will you pray with me? Father of grace and mercy, we thank you for this day, and we thank you that you light our darkness, that you take away our worry, our fear, and anxiety by your death and resurrection. Strengthen us this day, dear Father, in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The gospel reading for today could not have come at a better time. All of us, in every part of our life, trying to figure out how to live in a COVID-filled, changed world. And then Jesus says this, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on." Did you notice that Jesus did not say, "Oh, I know there's a lot to worry about, it's okay." He didn't say, "There's a lot of things that are changing in your world, it's all right if you worry a little bit." He was very clear. Jesus said, "Do not be anxious." That's a tall order for us. When anxiety and fear and worry is in every part of our life, it seems like. All of those things, anxiety, fear, worry, are products of our old sinful nature. And any time we find ourselves full of anxiety or not sleeping because of all of the worries in our lives, we are slipping from that blood-bought baptismal identity back into unbelief once again. When we're anxious or filled with worry, we're not trusting that God will keep the promises that he has made to us. Anxiety, worry, fear are all ways that the evil one tries to pull us away from the confidence and the peace that we have in Christ, in what God has completely already done and given to you. God called you from eternal death. Our greatest enemy conquered there when Jesus rose from the dead. He called you from eternal death and from your anxiety and your worry and your fear by placing his name upon you, both upon the forehead and upon the heart. When you were watermarked, you became his, and all of God's eternal, unchanging promises became yours. When you were baptized, God gave you faith. And when he gave you faith, he also gave you his Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit, the one who daily and often in our lives helps us fight the anxiety, the worry, and the fear. One of the most common questions I get, especially now when we're trying to live this Christian life, is, how do I trust God more? How do I worry and I fear less? Because it seems to consume us. Well, St. Paul picks up the answer for that in the epistle reading for today. You won't find the answer in the self-help section at BAM. All you'll find there are people telling you to suck it up and to do these things and you'll be able to fix yourself. That won't work because we are broken at the heart. There is one book, though, authored by God himself, that gives us the absolute answers. St. Paul picks up on that today in the epistle reading when he says this, "If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit." A life of faith gathered, guided by the Holy Spirit has two things that it clearly shows to us. First and foremost, love God. And second, love your neighbor. The first thing about loving God is receiving his gifts. The best way that I know how to deal with the fear, the worry, the anxiety in our lives is being right here, where God promises his real, true, physical gifts, and he gives them to us. Right here in worship. And right now, we're privileged in South Dakota to be able to gather together. But in many parts of the country, Churches are very limited or still closed. Do you see how the evil one would use this to continue to cause anxiety and fear to grow, separating his people from God and his gifts and his promises to you? The best way is to be right here where God has his gifts for us, in worship, confessing and receiving absolution, hearing God's word preached into our ears, and receiving the very body and blood of Jesus in our bodies for the forgiveness of sins and the strengthening of your faith. If you aren't already receiving these gifts of Jesus, you could very easily be slipping back into that unbelief of rejecting God and his good and precious gifts. I know that during this COVID time, a lot of people are staying at home, staying away for safety reasons. I understand that completely. And what a gift it is that we have live stream services so that you at home can hear and receive this wonderful promise of our Savior for you. But remember, our evil one that continues to fight against us loves to take the great gifts of God and twist them and give us a false confidence when we are away from them. Watching online, it's a great way to stay connected and to stay safe. But online worship does not give you the very body and blood of Jesus. Jesus is clear. He directs us very clearly to gather in person, to receive his gifts in person, to receive the absolution in person, to confess our sins, and to hear that Jesus has forgiven us. In worship, we receive Jesus' very body and blood to strengthen our weak faith, to strengthen us when we fight anxiety and all the things that continue to try to pull us away from hope. We are to meet in person. That's what the scriptures develop for us. That's what they teach us. Every time we're here, we receive God's word. Every time we're here, we're reminded of our baptism. Every time we're here and the Lord's Supper is offered, we receive Jesus, the risen Savior, in our bodies for the strengthening of our faith and the forgiveness of our sins. It's just too easy for us to believe that watching online, or maybe just fast-forwarding to the sermon, is enough. Repent. Confess your weakness. Confess your laziness and hear Jesus' very promises to you. Dear child of God, you are forgiven by Jesus' death on the cross and his glorious resurrection. There's another way that St. Paul guides us into receiving these gifts of God. He says, living the Christian faith is simply loving your neighbor. In the epistle reading, St. Paul gives us some guidelines as to what loving our neighbor looks like. It isn't an exhaustive list, but it is a list to give us an idea of where to start. St. Paul says this, "Brothers, if anyone is caught in any transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness." There is no better way to love your neighbor than to speak the truth in love to your neighbor. Our world has taught us to be politically correct, to be tolerant, to not take a stand, to not tell anyone they're wrong. But let me ask you, if your best friend or if your kids were willingly going to drink some poison and not know it, would you say anything to them? Would you say, that's a bad idea? Would you slap the cup from their hand? Or would you say, no, I'm tolerant, I'm politically correct, you can do what you'd like, even though it will end your life? Well, certainly you would not. It is the same way with speaking the truth in love to our neighbors. When we see someone that is on the wrong path clearly from the scripture, it is our responsibility to warn them in love, in the best way that we can, that the path they're on will lead to their destruction. Speaking the truth in love always involves the truth, but it always involves the gospel. giving them Jesus, giving them hope and promise that in the midst of their brokenness, there is still hope and promise and forgiveness through Jesus' death on the cross. No matter what sin, no matter what has pulled them away from Jesus, no matter what lie they are deceiving, the light of Christ and His truth is still stronger than all of those things that keep people hidden in the darkness. Always speak the truth in love. Always give them Jesus. Give them the risen Christ and everything from Easter Sunday so that they might know clearly that their Savior lives and His forgiveness is theirs. His resurrection is theirs. His peace is theirs. In the midst of their anxiety and their fear and their worried. Sometimes the best way to love someone is simply to listen to them. A number of years ago, I was helping someone, and we were talking, and they were talking about all these things going on in their life. And at the end of it, I simply said to them, I can't do anything about those things. And that person was upset with me and said, Pastor, I don't want you to do anything. I just want you to listen. They just needed to speak and to get it off their chest and to talk about it. And as we talked about it, then at the end, I directed them back to God's word and His promises and confession absolution. And they walked out like they were an entirely new person because they had hope and forgiveness and the gifts that Jesus gives. St. Paul tells us today that bearing one another's burdens is loving and serving your neighbor, listening to them, loving them, having compassion on them, pointing them to the very hope that we know in Christ, our risen Savior, who did not let anything, even death, stop Him from rising from the dead and giving you this assurance that there isn't anything in this world that can take you from His love and His mercy and His grace. Love by listening. It was about a year ago, this very week, in fact, that we had a great sermon illustration happening right during the worship service on these very things, loving our neighbor. We had a young woman that joined us for worship on Sunday morning at the first service, and she walked in and she found her way over to me, and she said, Pastor, I'm homeless, and I'm sleeping in my car, and I haven't had a shower in a week. Is there anything you can help me with? And as you know, when we built the ECC downstairs, we put showers downstairs. So I found someone to go down with her and get the shower ready, and she took a shower and cleaned up. And then she came up and she said, Pastor, I haven't eaten in a long time either. And we took her back to the kitchen, and whatever was in the fridge, someone made a meal for her. And she came in and she worshiped, and she heard about hope and love and promise in Jesus. There isn't a better way to love your neighbor than to meet the physical needs that they have. And that day, that woman's needs were met. She was strengthened and encouraged that people are good and looking out and wanting to help her. And most importantly, that she has a Savior who loves her. The tithes and the offerings that you so generously give every Sunday are another great way to love your neighbor. We oftentimes think the tithes and the offerings are me giving it back to God, but God doesn't really need your money. He has everything He needs. The money that you give is to love your neighbor. It's to keep the lights on. It's to be with me and the vicar as we go to Fort Wayne this week and we learn all about this process that we'll be going through. It's to make sure that when somebody has a tough week and they walk through those doors, they can find somebody in here to point them and give them the hope and promise of Jesus. The tithes and the offerings you give are to give the good news to someone who's struggling with hope, or struggling with anxiety and fear and worry, and to give them hope. The tithes you give help more people hear of the hope we have in Jesus. Death did not hold Him, and it will not hold His promises from you. When anxiety, worry, and fear begin to establish a foothold, we remember who we are. We're gathered here where God gives us His gifts to be strengthened and nourished and reminded that there isn't anything in this world that can pull us away from His promises. that his resurrection is stronger than anxiety or worry or fear. When we trust in his word, when we are surrounded by his gifts, he continues to strengthen us and give us his peace. He sends us out into the world so that we can continue to go and love our neighbors so that they might see Jesus as clearly as you do. Let your life be led by the Holy Spirit who is given to you in the waters of holy baptism. Let all of those fruits of the Spirit show out of your life and out of your love for Jesus. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Let all of those things be the gifts that flow from you to your neighbor, that they might also see and hope and believe in Jesus. In his name, amen. And now may the peace that passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.